Welcome to Comics.
Episode 271. This week, we talk about
Shadowland.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
We should talk about comics.
We should. I don't want to make you sad.
You need to watch, are you going to watch Luke? Can you watch Luke Cage there? Or is it restricted?
There's a delay.
Okay.
But let me see right now.
But I'm sure Grant knows how to set up a proxy.
Oh, we know how to get all the things.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Not a problem.
Oh, God. No, a VPN has been a pain in the ass.
Really?
It's, we haven't had much success, but, we've been using Brandon's Plex server instead. Yeah, it works. It works. House of Cards was the problem. Like, there was a really long delay on the most recent season.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm really looking forward to watching Luke Cage. It's like, it's the thing this fall that I'm most excited to become. It's, you know what? There's not a single thing coming out on conventional television that I'm excited to watch this fall. Like, my number one is Grand Tour, which is the Amazon ported Top Gear. I really watched that. And then there's the Marvel stuff on Netflix. And it's just like everything I don't want to watch is not on television. It's on streaming services. It's this streaming exclusive stuff.
The only TV that we watch is American Horror Story and Game of Thrones. And we end up like buying those on Amazon.
Yeah.
We buy HBO Go and we buy Amazon American Horror Story because they simulcast a lot of the time.
Yeah, because it's,
but,
I mean,
yeah.
And even if you were living here, like, it's just, it's not worth it to pay for either. Because I have a friend who lives here and the only thing he watches is Game of Thrones. It's like, yeah, just buy it on Amazon. It's like, it feels expensive to pay like $4 an episode, but I end up paying like $8 a month when I used to pay like $120 to get the HBO package cable.
Yeah,
and that's on top of TV subscriptions, because Comcast is like $180 for the big channel package.
Yeah, I do HBO Now for Game of Thrones, and I just pay for it for the 3 months that they actually air Game of Thrones, and then I cancel the subscription until the next season.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. That's what I wish that they could just get it through their heads that there's a whole like demographic of people who just want that and are willing to pay like good money to have streaming content simulcast with like the stuff on the networks.
Yeah, I mean, like, HBO figured that out.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't Game of Thrones the most pirated TV show?
Yes.
And see, before, that's how I was getting the show. And then they came out with HBO Now, and I was like, all right, I'm on board now. Because it's not, it's not that I'm unwilling to pay for the things I want, you know, but I'll use HBO as an example. Before they came out with HBO Now, I had, the only way for me to like pay for it was to get an HBO package. And I barely even when we had cable, I barely watched it. We were always watching streaming stuff anyway. And so now that I think people are, now that streaming is becoming more of an option, people, and it's easy to access the shows you want to watch, people are willing to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, before, all I would do is, like, my sister-in-law pays for the package to have HBO, I would just log into their account and watch it that way the next day.
Is there a difference between HBO Go and HBO Now? Because I know we had HBO Go, and it had to be tied to the Comcast account. And that made it, for some reason, never work, even though we had Comcast.
So HBO Now is like Netflix for HBO.
And HBO Go, HBO Go is what you get as part of your cable subscription that includes HBO.
So with so with HBO Now, it's like $14 a month, and you get access to whatever's airing. It's simulcast. So as soon as Game of Thrones is on TV, you can watch it on HBO Now. And then you also get like all the movies that they're airing for that month, all the other TV shows, and it's all streaming. It's good. It's pretty good service. It's been reliable, you know.
Yeah, my main gripe at home was Grant had HBO Go, and then when he came to my apartment, like HBO Go, Comcast, and PlayStation, like Sony, don't have an agreement, so we couldn't stream anything Comcast related on the PlayStation, but that was the only way to stream to the actual big TV. And it was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's seems like it's layers of bullshit.
Next time we'll do HBO Now.
Yeah, we have a Amazon Fire Stick on our connected to our TV, and there's a HBO Now app. So
okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's apps for almost every streaming service through Amazon, and Lucia has been, she's been doing her QA internship, and she's been learning a lot about Android, and I don't know how she did it, but she was able to hack the Amazon stick to get it to play Crunchyroll.
Oh, cool.
There's no Crunchyroll app. Because before we would have to plug in a computer to watch Crunchyroll on the TV, and now it, you know, the UI is a little bit screwed up, but we can watch Crunchyroll.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, like, I don't necessarily recommend the Amazon Fire Stick. It's not very responsive sometimes, but the service it provides is good. So, and it was really cheap. It was only $30.
Yeah, you transitioned from a full computer connected to your TV to a Fire Stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have the laptop. We have, like, an older laptop connected to our projector TV setup right now. And then I wanted to stream music to my nice stereo setup, which is connected to, like, an old Pioneer receiver, a vintage thing. And so I bought a Chromecast. And that Chromecast is, oh my god, it's beautiful. I can just open the Crunchyroll app on my phone, and that will play through the Chromecast. Like, there's very, very small niche circumstances where I could see myself actually wanting the computer on and hooked up to the projector now.
Yeah, Amazon, you can, if there's an app on Amazon, and you have the corresponding app on your phone, you can Bluetooth stuff to your phone, from your phone.
So good.
And it doesn't stream from your phone, because I think Chromecast streams from your phone, right?
Yeah, it streams from your phone over your Wi-Fi.
So with Amazon, you send, it basically tells the Fire Stick, I want to watch this, and then it'll just open up the app on the Amazon device and play it from there.
Guys, I love technology.
I know, it's great.
Yeah. Awesome.
Anyways, we're going to talk about comics.
Yeah, things we don't love. This week's comic. You guys ready?
Yeah.
This week's comic.
This week we read Shadowland. It's a 5-issue run written by Andy Diggle. It was written some year, drawn by some person. Man, I am unprepared tonight. This thing, though, this is from the time in my life where I had more money than sense, and I was subscribing to this. And after the bad reviews came out, I was too lazy to take it off my pull list, so I had the entire run in singles. Man, I feel like an idiot now.
It's not good.
Okay, it's from 2010. Where's the publisher? There we go. With pencils from Billy Tan. Don't know. But yeah, written by Andy Diggle, art by Billy Tan. And what the fuck is going on here, guys?
We see, Andy, Daredevil is super evil, and everyone's kind of mad about that, but it's probably because, like, racism, because of the Pagoda Castle, and then there's ninjas, and why don't you get this? And then Nicolas Cage saves the day.
Okay, so all right, hold on. Okay. This thing is by and large really fucking dumb. But there's one point, I think it's in the first issue, where I actually engaged for about 2 frames, right? No, it's in the second issue, because it's after Daredevil kills Bullseye. And they're having this conversation in the homeless kitchen, the soup kitchen. And Danny was talking to Luke, and Danny says, you know, how is it different? Like, we kill hand ninjas, you know, and Hydra agents all the time. Even though we try to be good, like, you know, sometimes they get killed by falling rocks or part, like, whatever we do, people die. Like, we're heroes and people die as collateral for our actions, you know? And sure, you could say Bullseye could have been taken in, but I don't see functionally, morally, how that's necessarily any different than what you and I do, Luke. And the crappy thing is, I was ready to engage with that idea. I was like, oh yeah, huh? What the fuck, man? And Luke just turns around and says, even so. And Danny says, yeah, even so. And they move on. That's the closest it's ever got to actually engaging me. And they're just like, even so. All right. Fuck it.
So the problem with this particular trade that we read is that it relies heavily on, like, spin-off type comics.
Yeah, the tie-ins.
Tie-ins. That's the word I was looking for. If you look at, like, the end of the issues, it has the checklist. And, you know, this is a 5-issue run, but, man, there's got to be, like, 50 issues that are all, like, tie-ins and stuff. And so that's why, like, a lot of this stuff, if you only read these 5 issues, just does not make sense.
Yeah, not at all. Like, in issue 3, out of fucking nowhere, Spider-Man and Punisher show up. I'm like, what? Why are they here?
For more sales.
I mean, Ghost Rider feels rando, but at least it's explained in comic why he's there.
But yeah. it seemed like he was going to be such a huge deal. A Ghost Rider, I mean. And then he's, like, barely in it.
Yeah. And he gets taken out super easy.
Well, he saved Foggy.
Oh, that's true. Foggy was just going to fall to his death.
Yeah. Oh, man. You know, I think I've stated my feelings on, like, how Marvel likes to do their events a few times before. And it can be really, really good to have, like, the main trade and then all the spin-offs if you want to, like, get into the nitty-gritty. But the main storyline needs to be readable without buying, like, $200 worth of comics.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, actually, I think this is the run where they learn that lesson. Because I remember going to Comic-Con in the years that followed this. I think I went 11, 12, 13, and 14. No, that doesn't sound right. I went for a couple years there after this, and Marvel was adamant that they wanted their event comics, during those years, they wanted those event comics to be standalone and to be a good enough self-contained story that you didn't have to buy the side issues by necessity. But of course, the major event would still invade your book, and it would take over your book's narrative for a little while, and that just kind of sucks sometimes. But you don't have to get all of the side event stuff. You can just read the main event comic. And I think this is the one that taught them that lesson. I don't want to say that for sure, but this is real bad.
Yeah. I think that there was a good idea maybe somewhere in there to make this comic, but it's just like, if you only read this, it's a hot mess, you know. It just doesn't work.
I feel like it's a marketing, like, this felt marketing ploy to me, and it felt like, let's make a comic to market to people who are like, yeah, ninjas, yeah, Ghost Rider, yeah, Spider-Man, yeah, Wolverine. And it's like, the characters that they chose to include get ever more absurd being there. Like, what the fuck is Wolverine doing there? That doesn't make sense.
Well, before Wolverine's death in Marvel, prior to Secret Wars 2, he was on every team. So you weren't really a Marvel comic unless Wolverine appeared.
That's true. And I know, like, you had to have him on the cover of everything because he was extremely good for sales.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it felt so out of context here.
Well, like, so... Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, it's just, even another character turns to him and it's like, what are you doing here, man?
Yeah, I think it's Elektra.
Yeah.
So I think the reason that this comic, or this event, has this particular lineup of characters is that this was right after the Dark Reign series. Yeah. Dark Reign and then Siege. And that was like a huge event, and it was definitely a Avengers event. And so I think maybe the reason why Marvel decided to go with this, this storyline is that they wanted to give some of their other characters some time in the spotlight. But, you still have Spider-Man in here because, like Wolverine, Spider-Man helps sell books. And Luke Cage, even though he's a prominent Avenger at this point in time, he is also a character that's tied very closely to characters like Daredevil and Iron Fist, the street level characters that Daredevil would interact with. So I think that's why Luke Cage and Spider-Man are there amongst this list of lesser known Marvel characters.
You talk about the marketing gen, and it reminds me of that moment when Spider-Man says wearing a black costume doesn't work.
Yeah. And I'm like,
is that them? Like, they made this black costume to sell an additional action figure, and is that Spider-Man kind of meta calling out what they're doing? I don't think so, but that would be hilarious.
I don't think... Spider-Man just is... he's so quippy.
Yeah. He wants to be there with the banter.
Yeah. And so that's him bantering. He has experience with going with a black costume.
Yeah.
And I think it's hilarious that, like, so I'm, like, flipping through the issues, right? Daredevil has this army of ninjas, right? And people that work for him. But yeah. When it's time to get Bullseye's body, it's just him and Typhoid Mary go and dig it up.
That's true. I didn't even think about that.
He could have just hired, told some of his ninjas to go get it.
Yeah, what the fuck is he doing there?
He can't see. I mean, he can see. But digging in a graveyard can't be easy.
Which, by the way, okay. The thing about him not being able to see, at the end when they gang up on him, is it just me, or did a bunch of them sneak up on him? And isn't Daredevil's whole thing that you can't sneak up on him?
Well, maybe,
I get Iron Fist.
I guess it's all a blind spot for him, huh?
Aw, low blow.
Like, I get the other ninjas being able to walk up on him, but, like, isn't one of the people that sneaks up on him, like, Luke Cage and then Punisher? Like, the ground should shatter and create, like, a huge noise every time Luke Cage walks around. How do you not hear
he's
Luke
not
coming?
Stealthy.
No! I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I know he's the Beast now or whatever, and not Daredevil, but wouldn't he be in Daredevil's body? Wouldn't he have Daredevil's power too? I was like, how the fuck are they? There's no explanation for how they're doing it. It's just, oh, we're going to sneak up on him. Okay.
Speaking of no explanation, did you guys notice that in, like, I think it was issue 4, every time a ninja was killed, they erupted in, like, green smoke and their clothing just fell to the ground empty? But,
yeah, that's kind of what the hand does.
Yeah, but, like, all the other times you see these people, like, real people bleeding and then dying. And
maybe those guys,
like,
are interns or something. They don't
apparently
have green smoke power yet.
Intern and.
Oh, that's a shitty unpaid internship.
Yes, it is.
But it's like, they're talking, I think it was around the time they're like, oh, we kill so many people, and then they suddenly, I don't know if it's related to that whole, like, moral plot line about, like, who can you kill and who can you not kill. But it seemed like it was for some reason to me. Like, oh, we're not killing real people. They're just smoke ninjas.
What? I think the hand are, like, undead or something. They're, like, ghosts. I don't know.
I don't know, but some of them were like real people that were just being slaughtered.
Yeah.
And it was weird that they would just randomly switch it in one issue. Because in issue 5, they go back to bleeding.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at issue 4 now, and they're all turning into smoke.
What the fuck? I noticed when they were turning into smoke, but I didn't notice that they turned back. I figured something happened in some side issue that I didn't pay attention to.
I think they're the interns. They just haven't learned that power yet.
Okay. So speaking of the undead hand, all right. I am like something in the comic points this out, but like Daredevil kills Bullseye and they're all super pissed. And Daredevil wants to resurrect Bullseye and they're all super pissed. And I get the non-thinking reason why, like, oh, well, he's dead, so let's just be happy it's over with and not bring him back because he was a horrible psychopath. Like, why would you want to bring back a horrible psychopath? But part of me is like, you bring him back so then he can face justice. Like, you were pissed because he was, you know, cold-blooded murdered, and yeah, bring him back. It was a rationalized, just killing, but justice was not served in his being murdered. So, bring him back to life, and then send him to trial.
You know, I feel like this is one where it's like, if you've stepped in shit, take off your shoe, don't just smear it all over the rug. I think that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, yes, I agree with you, and that's what I'm saying. It makes sense, but just on the outside, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be super pissed, and then be like, oh, thank God he's dead. Like, either maybe it's just because it happened so close together. So it was like, no, Daredevil, how could you possibly kill him? That's so fucked up. And then, like, 2 days later, oh no, leave him dead. I'm so glad you killed him.
Here's a question. Is Daredevil one of those heroes who absolutely refuses to kill anyone for any reason?
I think in general, yes.
Okay.
Because, yeah, Punisher.
It seems like they're more mad about Daredevil, not because he killed Bullseye, but because he's ashamed. Yeah, right? Because did you see the shame in his eyes?
Yeah, I think in the beginning that's what it is. And then as the beast overcomes him, he stops giving a fuck.
It's just... I mean, I can understand being disappointed in your friend for giving up on their own code of ethics. But then they don't address it that well.
No, and I think it's in issue 3. There's just a turn. Where everything's just... I mean, for the first 2.5 issues, things feel a little off. Things feel a little wonky. But it's not too crazy. And then in issue 3, they manage to get in, right? They tell the ninjas, oh, we're going to pledge allegiance to the hand. Sure, bring us to Matt. And then they try to talk to him. And then something happens down below. Oh, Ghost Rider gets summoned and the people get freed. And Matt all of a sudden just goes, off with their heads! And it's like, wait, we go from it's a big deal to kill Bullseye, and he broods about it for like a full issue. He broods about having killed Bullseye, and he goes from brooding about that to just off with my friend's heads. And it's explained why that happened, like why he is getting more and more evil. But that just felt like, whoa, that escalated really quickly. Right?
Yeah. I don't know. This comic wasn't consistent in theme within itself. It feels so all over the place in whatever message it's giving at the time, unless the message is like ninjas are cool.
It kind of reminds me a little bit of Batman Odyssey, but not as not as batshit. In Batman Odyssey was crazy, but there were gems, like psychopathic, hairy, spa Batman.
I love Batman Odyssey. It was so bad.
And this one...
It was bad in an endearing way. This is not endearing.
Yeah, no, there's a couple moments in here that are a little endearing, but they're not nearly so many. Like, I really did the last couple pages of the last issue when people are waking up, and the soccer mom was like, ugh! And she's got a Molotov cocktail in her hand.
Well, like the great thing.
There's some like professory looking dude about ready to shiv somebody with a
busted open glass bottle.
The great part about Batman Odyssey is that it's so far in the opposite direction of Batman that it makes it like a funny parody. But this isn't a parody. This was like trying to be a serious comic, and it and it fails at that. Well, it's serious, but it's just not well put together.
Okay, so can you guys explain to me the deep, deep meaning behind Daredevil's internal mind seppuku, whatever the fuck happened there?
Yeah. So what happens is he's possessed by the beast, but then his best bro Foggy comes up and is like, "It's Foggy," and he goes, "Foggy," in a very dramatic whisper voice. And then he plunges into his own subconscious. And then Elektra walks up to him after a series of traumatizing images, and she says, "Man the fuck up." And then he's like, "Yeah, this is why we need the patriarchy." And then he's better.
Okay.
That's my takeaway.
He goes, and then the blackness goes away, and there's... Because, like, you know, after he stabs himself...
You trying to say blackness is what makes him evil? Is it Luke Cage? Luke Cage didn't make him evil.
He stabbed himself and he was free of Luke Cage. No, Andy. He stabs himself and then the background of the comic turns white. And he's okay somehow.
Okay, number one, Jen, when you said Foggy, it made me think, you know, it's great that Foggy made him clear.
That's terrible.
Foggy just cleared the fog away. Oh, God. Okay, but then... So, what... Okay. He was alive. He mind seppukus himself, and that almost kills him, apparently. But not so much that he doesn't just, like, ninja disappear from his friends, which, by the way, you're probably in serious need of help from your friends. They were your friends. They come and saved you. Like, it just... The resolution made no sense at all, and I felt like it got meta for no reason.
I thought Elektra stole his corpse.
Oh, is that what happens?
Because they're like, "Where's Matt?" And then the scene, Elektra's gone, and she's in the sewer holding his mask.
Oh, I just figured she took his mask? I don't know. Or his mask was down there? I don't know. At that point, I was so just not giving a shit about this comic.
Yeah, how so did is his it just mask me? Get down there? Because when he's like, it looks like Foggy's giving him CPR. And he's got his mask on still.
I think she takes it when no one's looking. It's like a weird souvenir.
She took it when, like, even we weren't looking.
Yeah, she's going to put it in the shrine in the back of her closet, like that girl from Hey Arnold.
That was a deep cut, Jen. Yeah. What a callback.
Damn. I would golf clap, but it doesn't come up well on this microphone. Let me try.
No.
Nah.
No, not working.
Not so much. Also, is it just me or is Elektra definitely played by Lucy Lawless in this comic? Look at her holding that mask. It's totally Lucy Lawless.
I think it's just in that picture.
Okay, but can we actually talk about the art in this for a second? Because the art in this is not great either.
It's pretty okay.
I like the seppuku scene. I thought that was actually really well done.
That one was. Some of the action is easy to follow. But for me, the figure drawing was horrendous. Because all the dudes have 10 packs, except for Luke Cage, who has no body proportion at all, really, page to page. Sometimes he looks like the Hulk, sometimes he looks like a refrigerator. I don't know what's happening with his body. Every single woman has the exact same figure, every single one. And sometimes it's covered up more, and sometimes it's covered up like Lady Bullseye.
Lady Bullseye, so her...
Is that an established canon costume that she's wearing? Because that thing is fucking ridiculous.
I'm pretty sure that is her costume. I think this is the only comic I've ever read that has her in it. But her... I feel like kind of an asshole for... bringing this part up, but you know, welcome to comics. Yeah. So her right boob that is covered up more. Looks definitely smaller than the free boob.
Well, you know, David, they're not always the same size.
I know, but it's like...
Okay. Don't look at fan art of the lady bulls. Don't do it.
You know, it's got to be electrical tape.
No, and that's why I'm saying don't look it up, because there's some, I'm looking at some, and the line, okay, so they have to, no, that can't be, the line that goes, it's not a free boob, it can't be, it has to be like a bodysuit that she's wearing, and that just happens to be the pattern.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's one right here.
They paint it on.
Yeah, something like that. There's one right here, there's just no, well, she's missing a boob, or that's her shoulder. No, that's, yeah, no.
Well, there's one scene of her in issue 4 where she's getting on the helicopter with Kingpin. And so in one panel we see her we're looking at her from her right side, and you can only see her the black boob. I don't know how else to describe it. And then in the next panel she is sitting in the helicopter looking out the window, and you can see her from the other side. Now, if I look at those, I feel like in the first panel, the left boob should have been able to see it from the side, but it's hidden. I don't know why. Like, this comic was so good that I was paying attention to this kind of stuff instead of the actual story.
Well, you know what it is? Like, in the top panel, it looks more like pecs. They come out and they're kind of pointy.
Right?
And then they're pointy. They are pyramid-shaped, but then they're very round in the next panel.
I think
that's
only,
why.
In the next panel, only the left one is round, I think. See, I feel like that, you know how, like, when there's an eclipse and you can see the outline of the sun behind the moon? I feel like it should have been like that.
You know,
in the first panel.
I just gotta say, at least they put the center of the bullseye like on her shoulder.
Yes.
Instead of the nipple.
So, no, and so that's the thing. Apparently,
there's that.
Some of this fan art I'm looking at, like if you look at her from her left side, it looks like a painted-on target.
Oh, I think it is a bodysuit. You're right. I'm looking at some other images of her online. I didn't include fan art when I googled it. I just did Lady Bullseye image search. And I think she is wearing like a
bodysuit. Bodysuit.
Because there's one where she has no cleavage. And if...
Yeah.
If it was free...
She wouldn't have a unit.
There would be significant... There would be the opposite of not cleavage.
there'd be, as you called it, a free boob.
Yeah, free boob.
Free boob.
So
I don't know what else to call it.
No, that's accurate. I'm not making funny for it. That's a good term to use.
Yeah, it's like freeballing, but with boobs.
Free boobin'.
Yep.
It's like going commando.
I'm so glad that we have spent this long talking about Lady Bullseye.
This is such a deep and erudite conversation.
This is the first time we've encountered her in our... In reading
true.
And doing the show, so I feel like we should give her some.
We have read 270 comics, and we've never even seen Lady Bullseye. Everyone else in this we've seen. No, who's the other ninja dude? Shang-Chi? That's wrong.
Shang-Chi is the master of kung fu.
Okay,
so Tarantula.
Shang-Chi, Tarantula, we've never seen. White Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have we seen Electra?
I don't know. None of them really had interesting costumes like Lady Bullseye.
No, and that's what free boobin' gets you talking time on the podcast.
Yeah. Can we talk about Thor's head in, like, the one panel he's there?
We can. Because we can talk about Thor's head.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, 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 really small.
I don't think it is. I think his body is just really big.
I feel like it looks really wrong.
There's some Captain America that looks really disproportionate too. Like, that's what I'm saying. These bodies aren't correct.
Oh, I think it is his cape. He's got like the cape is like a shoulder, looks like shoulder pads.
And some of these torsos, I think, get longer so that he didn't have to draw hands or lower body halves. There's sometimes when, like, Iron Fist is in the front of the panel and he's just got, like, an extra two or three abs just to have a longer torso.
I mean, they do work out really hard.
Yeah. And if you are Iron Fist, you need to have a 10-pack. Which, actually, is fucking, it's wrong. You know that? Like, I really want their... Actually, what the one I want to pick up, I think it's IDW, is printing a comic right now called Faith, where...
Oh, yeah, it's on... That's on, it's on, Comixology Unlimited.
Yeah, and I want to pick it up. I don't know the concept or anything about the story, but the main character, Faith, is an obese superhero, an obese woman superhero. And, like, that makes perfect sense. Like, there's no reason at all that Superman needs to be fit, right? Superman, his powers are based on being a battery of solar energy. He could look like me and be just as strong as he is. It's not tied into his physique at all. Not one bit. And the same thing is happening here. Like, could look like anything.
Well, are you guys familiar with the character Butterball?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's actually a sad character. He's, like, invulnerable, but, you know, his body can't change. It's very sad. Anyways.
Who are we even talking about?
We were talking about Iron Fist's abs.
Yeah. Iron Fist could be, you know, Iron Fist could be 300 pounds, but he still has the chi of the dragon in him. That's all he needs. I guess, true. Well, he's still mortal, so he would still need... Thor could be fat. Thor could be fat as hell to call down the
lightning. I mean, look at Volstagg.
Yeah. Volstagg's a badass. Volstagg the Voluminous. Storm could be massive. There's no reason... I mean, you're just controlling elements. You don't need to be fit, Aurora.
Well, it probably helps in Storm's case because she doesn't actually fly. She just makes wind push her around.
Oh, yeah, so she would just need to make more wind.
Yeah.
What about Wolverine? Wolverine probably stays fit just as a course of his
he's
mutation.
He's like super heavy because of his metal skeleton.
Oh, yeah. So he's probably just constantly burning energy.
He's like, you know, it's like he's constantly working out because he's carrying around this thing.
It's like in DBZ where they weigh the weighted clothing. Except he's wearing it inside his flesh.
Mm-hmm.
See, this comic is doing a good job of spurring conversation.
Luke Cage doesn't have to be fit.
That's true.
Like, his whole thing is you can't stab him, and he'll punch you. So,
okay, look, I want to talk about Kingpin's Japanese costume.
Yeah, the cultural appropriation.
Well, I think he's just wearing the right thing for the ritual.
He dressed for the occasion.
I mean, it just comes out of nowhere. Did he really need to wear that? Probably not. I mean, Lady Bullseye's just wearing her normal thing.
But, you know, he's always in his white suit. He probably wanted an opportunity to switch it up.
Actually, his face changed a bunch.
Yeah, I thought that was a different character. I did not know that was Kingpin. Until I, like, got at the end of that scene, I was like, oh, that's Kingpin? I thought this was, like, some other dude.
So there's the last panel of that scene, or the last page of that scene, the top panel, he looks like a little kid. And then on the next one, he looks like he's got, like, 100 chins. And then on the final one, he looks like just a big guy. It doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all.
I want to take 2 seconds to go back to Lady Bullseye. And this is not about her costume.
Okay.
But when you hear her name, do you think, like, Lady Bullseye? Like she's just, like, the lady version of Bullseye? Or, like, it's her title, like Lady Crawley, you know?
Like Lord and Lady Bullseye?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the girl version of Bullseye.
Yeah, that's what I think.
That's what I hear it as too.
I mean, the thing is, she's there are some clear differences between them. Like, she's more ninja-esque, and we don't actually see her doing any things that involve bullseyes. But she does have the bullseye theme going on.
Oh yeah,
it's true.
They both have the bullseye on their head.
Well, she doubled down. She's got it on her costume twice.
Yeah.
He just has, like, a suit. Not, like, suit, but, like, a spandex suit.
This is correct.
Okay. So, I'm not the only one who's just like, this is the lady version of Bullseye name.
No, that's immediately.
Was it supposed to be the other way?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And is it just me, or did Bullseye's body decompose real fast?
It did. It's supposed to, like, bloat up in this time frame. Instead, it desiccated.
That's right.
I guess it's less nasty than what you'd actually see.
It only matters so much. Does he eventually get resurrected?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
He's gotta. This is a comic.
And I like that. I like that at this point, resurrecting characters has become so regular and passe and accepted that when they talk about resurrecting Bullseye, nobody's like, what? We can bring people back from the dead? They're just like, oh, okay. No, we don't want that to happen. There's no surprise or reaction at all to the fact that somebody is getting resurrected from death. No reaction to that. The reaction is just, why him? He's an ass. Like, we're at peak resurrection in comics, guys. You cannot get more regularized than this.
Oh, I'm looking at Lady Bullseye Wikipedia page. Apparently, she resurrected White Tiger and Black Tarantula.
Hmm.
So I think that's kind of the hands deal. They're like resurrection ninjas.
Okay.
Yep.
You guys want to rate this?
Sure.
We've like been rambling on for 20 minutes at least.
After we rate it, I have a fun anecdote to share. It has nothing to do with this comic.
Okay, I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this a 1. I was thinking 1.5, and then I was like, why? I can't. I don't know why. This is clearly not as good as an average comic. I have no motivation whatsoever to read any tie-ins to this of any kind. I'm disappointed that I own the singles. I would say that it was a waste of my time, but I read all 5 issues in literally 15 minutes. They took me about 2.5 to 3 minutes a piece to read.
Yep.
It was a quick read. It was entirely unsatisfying. The only point at which I felt like I might have been engaged, or that something like a coherent thought was going to happen, even so. Even so. Just, we'll move on. There's nothing here but ninjas and free boobs. And, I'm not 12, so not my thing. 1. David?
Yeah, this is, it's not good. I think that it could have been something really cool here, with the premise and stuff, but it was just, I mean, this trade is just a hot mess.
Yep.
So I'm going to agree with Andy and give it a 1, and I feel like I don't really have anything more to say about that. So, Jen?
I'm going to give it a 2 because it's really not the worst thing I've read, and as you said, it was really short, and when things are short, that ups my rating.
So even if it's bad, at least it didn't waste too much of your time?
Yeah, and it really did make me like laugh heartily in one scene.
Okay.
And it's when they're regrouping, and Shang-Chi is like, I'm no longer the master of Kung Fu.
Aw.
And I'm like, I think I cracked up for like 10 minutes at that, because I'm like, if it's that easy to take your title, you shouldn't be a fucking hero. Go home.
He's totally the Krillin of that room.
I know! And he looks so sad. So that
could be worse. He could be the Yamcha.
The Yamcha of the room?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, no, I think he's the Chatsu to Iron Fist Tien.
You think so?
Yeah, I see it. I see that buddy, like, bromance there.
Do you think that, so who's the Goku of the group?
Probably Luke Cage.
Oh, no.
I would say Luke Cage, too. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
The Goku, no.
No, I think Luke Cage is more like the Vegeta.
See, okay. I was going to say Luke Cage
that he
is...
I
was going to say Luke Cage is the Piccolo.
Yeah, actually, I think that's better. Yeah, Piccolo's better. He's a better, better comparison.
I was going to say, if Luke Cage is the Vegeta, that makes Jessica Jones Bulma.
That guy who joined the old man, he's Master Roshi.
Yes!
Oh my god.
This works.
This works too well.
Anyway, so, like, it had a few moments like that where it verged from being, like, really bad to so bad it's kind of funny, and that definitely upped my rating by 1 point.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
So anyways,
our in-depth analysis there.
I wanted to share this story at the beginning of the episode, but I forgot about it until now, so
let's hear it.
I'm going to share it now. So on Wednesday, I went to, it was my friend, one of my friend's birthdays, and he wanted to go to Marvel Trivia Night at a bar that nearby called Seven Stars. It's like a Star Wars themed bar. It's pretty awesome. But anyways, I went with my buddy and a couple other people, and we played Marvel Trivia. And we won.
Yeah.
You destroyed everybody else. We only got, it was out of a possible 92 points, we got 91 points.
What did you miss?
That's awesome.
Huh? So there was one of the categories was the guy, the quiz master, I don't know what else to call him, would put a picture of an actor who was in a Marvel movie. And we had to name the actor, the character, and then the secret identity of the character. So, and some characters have more than one secret identity, right? So when they put up, what's his name? Michael Fassbender. And we were like, okay, it's Magneto. Eric Lenscher. And then I remember him being called Magnus. As a kid, you know, when I was a kid, he would always, that was his, like, real name, was Magnus. But apparently, it's like Eric something. And so that's, we got it wrong because we put Magnus instead of the other name. But, yeah, we just, like, completely destroyed every other category.
Nice.
It was awesome. It was so much fun. Yeah, I just wanted to tell everybody that I won Marvel Trivia, so you can rest assured that you are listening to a faux reals nerd.
A bona fide expert.
Yeah. Can you hear my daughter?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that to be part of my life.
For some reason, both my kids are awake now at 10:30. Lucas was asleep. Anyways, this has nothing to do with comics, but, yep.
Yep. All right. that was our review of Shadowland. That was our discussion of Shadowland. Next week, we're going to continue our supposedly Netflix coming up fall 2015 series with reading Defenders Indefensible. So the Netflix Defenders is not like the Defenders in the comic at all. So we read this instead because this has a lot of the same characters that's going to be in that. Hopefully they don't do Shadowland. Or at least they do it drastically different. But
I mean, if you watch Daredevil Season 2?
No.
The Hand is in it.
Okay.
Anyways.
So next week we are going to read Defenders just because I like the Defenders. We're going to read Defenders Indefensible, and this is written by the same terrible trio that did Justice League International, DeMatteis, Giffen, and Maguire. So
yes.
It should be
nice.
Really well written and incredibly well drawn and just a fantastic read overall, and I am so excited. I am more excited to read this than I have been anything else in the series, and this is not related to the reason we did the series at all. This has been on the list of stuff I wanted to read for a long time, and I'm excited to finally have a really good reason to have to read it. So that's next week, Defenders Indefensible, DeMatteis, Giffen, and Maguire. Until then, everybody, goodbye!
Goodbye.